You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis.
It does make you wonder why Brian Higgins here in the case of Karen Reed is withholding, it feels like, or understating his intelligence on some of these things, considering he is an ATF agent and does have experience in many of these things. But it does make me wonder, does this have anything to do with the murder, or is there more embarrassment about what was on that phone? Because we got a chance to see those salacious, I don't want to say salacious, because it felt like no one has game in those texts. It's like, what are you guys doing? It felt like fourth graders. Do you like me? I think I like you. Do you really like me? I kind of like you. Like, what do you want me to do?
Were they passing notes in homeroom or something?
Oh my God, it went on and on. Did I rewind this video or something? Because it was the same things over and over. I'm not even going to play a clip of it because it's so freaking monotonous. But salacious on like a fifth grade level of someone like somebody, and it's between Higgins and Karen Reed. I don't know if there's just sheer embarrassment from that, because he didn't even want to call her Karen on the stand. He was always referring to her as the defendant. What's your take on all of that and how this plays into the mix of everything here?
You know, there have been multiple allegations of affairs and indiscretions and sort of unusual relationships between all of the players in this case. And so, there's an allegation of these sort of flirtatious texts between Higgins and Karen Reed. Did he just like not want that to come to light because it's a bad look, it's embarrassing? Or was there something more nefarious at play in terms of trying to dispose of that evidence? That's really a question that the jury's going to wrestle with.
Well, and you have to wonder, too, because, you know, who would be taking a look at all of this information if they were to examine it? I mean, it would end up being amongst their coworkers. I mean, it's somewhat, you know, not, you know, biologically incestuous, but it's an incestuous relationship that everyone has with each other as far as getting this information, examining it and working on the case. It makes me wonder a little bit more, too, like, are there other things on these devices, again, not relating to John O'Keefe, that, you know, are going to raise some eyebrows, not just the Karen Reed thing. I mean, are there other relationships? Are there other indiscretions? I mean, those sort of things wouldn't pertain to this case, so they wouldn't necessarily be presented here as evidence. But it certainly does make you wonder the way that this circle kind of hangs out together.
Oh, totally. And, you know, law enforcement is familiar with what happens during a cell phone download. Usually you get almost the entire contents, and there are photos in there, and there are notes and search history and everything else that could be darn embarrassing, could be problematic for their careers, might not be related to a murder, but might be something they don't want to have disclosed.
Well, and he even testified that when he did have his data downloaded, he didn't download some of the text strings with the Alberts and with some of the other. And again, the same people involved in this conspiracy, it doesn't look good. Again, I don't feel there's much of an evidence of a conspiracy here, but the optics sure certainly don't help that at all.
They don't. And keep in mind, you know, the defense only needs one juror to have reasonable doubt, not even conclude that Karen didn't do this, but just I have reasonable doubt as to whether she did it. And that results in a mistrial. That's practically a win for defense. And so I think defense is doing a good job kind of injecting doubt here and there.
I think they're doing a stellar job injecting doubt here. Initially, I was kind of thinking, this is not great of a case you got here, but now we're getting to all this and we're seeing more. Here's Higgins on the stand talking more about how he got rid of the phone in a dumpster at a military base. Where else?
Oh, with my
and
trash.
And then you also took your phone, now without the SIM card, and you put that in the trash bag too, did you not?
Yes, sir.
Then you drove to a military base and you threw both the destroyed SIM card and the phone into a dumpster, did you not?
Well, I was cutting through the base, and I believe how I testified was—
Did you drive to a military base, sir?
I was cutting through a base, yes.
Did you drive to it?
Yes, sir.
And then you put both the destroyed SIM card and the phone itself, which were in a trash bag, into a dumpster on that military base, did you not?
I believe that's what I did, yes.
And as you were driving away, you knew that that destroyed SIM card and the phone would be gone forever, correct?
Yes, I threw it away.
And before you drove away, you did not transfer anything from your old phone to the new phone, correct?
That's correct.
You lost all of your photos on that phone, did you not?
Whatever photos I had on there, I did, yes.
You lost all your videos on that phone, did you not?
To the extent if I had any.
You lost all of your other text messages besides the ones that you had with Karen Reed and John O'Keefe, correct?
That's correct.
And you knew that you did have text messages on that old phone with Kevin Albert.
He's a friend, most likely.
You also had text messages on your phone with Nicole Albert.
Most likely, yes.
And you had text messages on your phone with Brian Albert.
Yes.
It was important to you that no one see those text exchanges that you had with those three members of the Albert family.
Jackson.
I'll let him have it.
No, sir, that's not true.
You took no steps to preserve those text messages, did you?
That's correct.
You did not ask your friend Matt Kelch, the agent, to help you extract those text messages, did you?
That's correct.
And when you went to that machine, you did not extract them yourself, did you?
He walked me through it. I did do the extraction.
You did not extract the three strands of text messages with Nicole Albert, Kevin Albert, and Brian Albert to preserve from that machine, did you not?
No, I did not extract those.
So enough to raise some reasonable doubt there, but is that enough to, let's say, in theory, Karen Reed gets off here to investigate these people at all for anything? Or is it still, I mean, very much, you know, kind of on the fence? Enough for doubt, but not enough for any sort of prosecution.
You know, it's funny, whenever a non-law enforcement person may dispose of something that turns out to be evidence in a case later, the law enforcement jumps on those folks sometimes,
yeah, true.
And they are crucified. But when law enforcement does it, hey, I was just throwing my cell phone out with a broken SIM card at a military base for some weird reason. You know, I doubt it's going to result in a prosecution of those law enforcement officers, but certainly this looks like something that was calculated, mm-hmm. selective, and intentional in terms of disposing of that phone.
Now, I mean, the military base is a lovely layer of frosting for the Karen Reed cake, but all about context. What flavor is that frosting? Is it buttercream or is it kitty litter flavor? And I think it might be more kitty litter, because the reality of the context there is where Higgins lives, he doesn't have trash service. People in that area take their trash to the military base there and dispose of it in that area. Has been doing it for years. This is, I mean, they, of course, you're not going to point that piece out, but it looks bad when the jury only knows that piece of the context to it. I'm wondering if prosecution is going to point any of that out as well, or if they even want to touch that stone again, if it's just too hot.
Yeah, you know, I think that the government should definitely try to explain that, because to a layperson, you know, they don't necessarily know that that's where trash is historically disposed of in that locale.
Yeah.
So something to clarify for sure.
You'd think so. But it certainly looks bad either way. And him playing dumb doesn't look very good. Although it does make me wonder a little bit. Maybe he isn't the brightest bulb. I don't know. I mean, what did you get out of his testimony there, though, when it was asked flat out, you know, you did this to deceive, basically, I'm paraphrasing, and his answer was a very straight, no, it wasn't. Did you feel like he was being deceptive there, or just kind of, you know, this all looks bad, but no, it's not that?
You know, I think common sense just tells me there's some kind of subtext here. There's mm-hmm. something underlying these actions that wasn't just completely innocuous and innocent to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that the destruction of the text between people who were there that night, but then preserving text with Karen Reed, that shows me a strategic intention to make sure some stuff is gone before everything comes to light.
The question is why? I mean, I get the Karen stuff, but is there other stuff? Does it pertain to John? That's the mystery. We'll see where this continues to lead us.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.